I know there's an expression that you can't get out of the kitchen. You feel that way sometimes? So we're still in the kitchen. Baruch Hashem, but we're in the kitchen. A Shabbos like a kitchen. We're learning the very basic halachas, lamaisa. Each one is trying, all of us are trying to keep Shabbos. We want to know the pratim of Hilchos Shabbos. There's so many things to talk about, and Mitzvah hope after the summer will continue. We were learning last time about peeling fruits and vegetables, cleaning, also the issue of cleaning lettuce, cabbage, shells of nuts, removing seeds from cantaloupes, watermelons, skin from chicken. Very common things that could involve deraises, rabbanans, left and right. We're going to continue now discussing the Malacha of Teichin. Tes Vav Ches Nun. This is the second part, Chelik Beis, of the last discussion. What is the Malacha of Teichin? Teichin is one of the 39 Malachas, and the Inyan of Teichin literally means grinding, taking a guf echad, something, a physical thing, and dividing it into small parts, breaking it down into small parts, grinding, crushing, mashing, we'll talk about this, into small parts. In the Mishnah and in the Gemara, it involves that agricultural life that Jews at that time and in some places, especially these days as well, are involved day to day with the seeds, the wheat, the grain, and so on, grinding into spices, and so on. This is an Av Malacha. This is one of the 39 Malachas of a person's Chayiv from the Torah. And the din is that this prohibition is whether a person is Teichin Bekli, whether he does it with a Kli, with some utensil, with some special thing, or he does it with his hand, a fork, crushes it with something else. The Malacha is the Malacha of Teichin. Now the Gemara is in Shabbos, in Masechta Shabbos of Ayin Dalad, Amud Beis. And there the Gemara says, Hai man de parim silke chai mishum teichin. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Shechoytech yerek, if a person is cutting a vegetable, Hanikra silke, whatever that vegetable is, it's called silke, but the person is cutting a vegetable, L'chatichos dakos, to little pieces. This is where it begins to become interesting, especially when it comes to our kitchens. What the Gemara is telling us is that in the regular way that vegetables are being chopped, there can very well be an Isser Deraisa, prohibition from the Torah on Shabbos, the Malach of Teichin. Now there's a tremendous machlokis, a dispute between the Rishonim, between the Rambam and the Rashba. And I try at least a little bit each time that we should have a basic understanding of the Inyan, not just this, the boom, 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 but to know a little bit of where it's coming from. There's a very, very big disagreement between the Rambam and the Rashba, two of the greatest of our Rishonim, of how to understand this Gemara and how to understand the Isser of Teichin, which has tremendous bearing upon the practical halacha of how we keep Shabbos in the kitchen. According to the Rambam, if we're talking about a vegetable that can be eaten and is regularly eaten in its natural state, carrot, lettuce, celery, and so on, meaning it's not cooked, it's eaten raw, the way that it comes from the ground, that's how you eat it. So the Rambam holds, then there is no iser to chop that into small pieces. The Rambam holds, as it's explained later on by the Achronim, the Rambam holds that that's not called a malacha chashuva. It's not called a chashuva malacha, meaning, ben kach u ben kach, a carrot can be eaten straight, a stick of a carrot. Ben kach u ben kach, this a piece of sarli, a piece of lettuce, does not have to, does not require the preparations of cutting and slicing and chopping and so on. They're normally eaten raw in their natural state. So the Rambam holds that, therefore, there is certainly no prohibition from the Torah to chop of these vegetables, even to small pieces. What the Gemara is talking about, this Gemara that we just mentioned a moment ago, the Gemara is talking about other vegetables, vegetables that are being prepared, that are prepared to be cooked, and that as part of that process of preparing them to be eaten, cooked and chopped and sliced and so on, then the Rambam says there's an Isra of Taichin from the Torah. Obviously, the Rambam has greatly limited the scope of this entire prohibition. Now, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba disagrees. And he holds that there's an Isra of Tchina on vegetables and on fruits, even though the way they come naturally from the ground, you're not allowed to chop. You're not allowed to chop vegetables or fruits, regardless, at any time. That's the Rashi. What's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch is in Simen Shinchaf Aleph, Sif Yud Beis, and there the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rashba, strictly according to the strict view of the Rashba, that even a fruit or a vegetable that can be eaten in its natural state, one is prohibited. In Issa, there's the Issa of Taichin, and therefore it is forbidden to chop fruits or vegetables into small pieces unless we abide by a number of conditions that we're going to be talking about tonight. But there is an Issa like that. Unlike the Rambam, the Rashba holds that there's an Issa to chop fresh fruits and vegetables, which is obviously a big part of making a salad, into small pieces. We'll talk about what small means. It's prohibited, it's forbidden to do that. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch in fact passes. That's the Din in Shulchan Aruch. Now, fortunately, as we learned last time when we were talking about peeling the laws of Borer, fortunately, the Rashba, the same Rashba, also learns, as we spoke about earlier, last time, that when it comes to chopping fruits and vegetables into small pieces, even though there's an Isser of Taichin, however, if it's done, what? Samuch l'su'udah, if it's done right at the time, or in preparation for the meal, right before the meal, if it's done at that time of Samuch l'su'udah, as we spoke about last time with Bora, then it's permitted. The reason is the same svar. The Rashba explains that when the person is chopping the fruits or vegetables, let's say in the kitchen right before Kiddush, right before everybody sits down to eat, if the person is preparing, slicing, chopping the vegetables and fruit right before the Seuda, then that's not considered to be a meleches machsheves for the purpose of tchina, to be tochein, but rather it's considered to be the beginning of the Seuda because it's considered derech achila, as we spoke about by Bora. This is the way that we eat. You can't put big pieces into your mouth. That's not how you eat. The way that a person eats is by cutting things into smaller pieces. That's how you eat. And the Rashba holds that the prohibition of the Torah is when a person does this the night, Friday night for Shabbos, or does it in the morning, and then it's a way of preparation. It's a way of being tochein. But when you're doing that right before the meal, and in the meal, and during the meal, obviously, then the Rashba says that's not called tochein, that's called derech achila. That's how people eat. You don't put a big piece into your mouth. That's how people eat. So as long as it's samach l'suda, the Rashba holds, the Torah never asked that. The Torah never said that's forbidden. We'll come back to see the halacha l'maisa of how that works, the time and so on, in a few minutes. Now the poskim have not explained. It's not clear in the Gemara. It's not 100% clear in the poskim either. What exactly is meant by cutting something into small pieces? So far we saw that according to the Shulchan Aruch, this Isser of Tochin applies to both fruits and vegetables that are natural, that are as they're natural or cooked and so on. It applies to vegetables and fruits. And we learned that the Rashba says, however, Samach L'Su'udah, before the suda, you can't cut them into small pieces right before the meal. But the iser itself is cutting into small pieces. Now, what is the meaning of small pieces? How does one define chatichais ketanais? What is the meaning of that? What's the size of the pieces? So first of all, it's obvious in the poskim that there's no shaila at all about, let's say, cutting an apple into four or five slices, into edible slices. It's not a shaila that's allowed. Not only that, Rav Moshe Feinstein even allowed a person to use the little things that you can cut an apple into a number of slices. Rav Moshe allows that. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach allows that. When it comes to making pieces, slices like that, you're allowed to do that. That's not an issue. That's bechlal, not called toichen, those large slices. That's not tchina, that's not grinding. It's not chopping. Cutting those slices is fine. That's not a shayla. And yet the post can tell us that there's an issur to chop into small pieces. And not only that, they say, if it's tiny pieces, as ketanos ma'oi, or ketanos mamish, even somach lasuda, you can't do it. Even right before the suda, you can't do it. In other words, somach lasuda, you can cut into small pieces. But you can't chop into tiny pieces. And yet, they didn't explain to us, it's not 100% clear, how does one define small and tiny? Large, we understand. Slices, we understand. But how do you define small and tiny? When you're preparing fruits or vegetables, especially for salad, how do you define that? So it's not 100% clear. Another term that's being used in halacha is that the pieces should be gidolos ktsas, a little big. They shouldn't be ktanois mamish, mamish small. They should be gedolos ktsas, a little big. So there's a great deal of debate. What does that mean? Not mamish small and a little bit big. So there are basically three ways of defining this that we find in the poskim. The first is how people refer to something, how the general people, how people generally will see something. It's not a science. There's a difference between making something, chopping it up into, chop into little pieces, and larger pieces. So one mahalach that we find in the poskim is how people generally think of things. It's also not clear. The second way of explaining this is kol shadayin tzarach lachtor ha'oichel b'shinayin, that it has to be big enough that it would still be necessary for you to chomp a little bit with your teeth. If it's so tiny that it can go right down, it's no good. It has to be big enough that you would still have to chew it, even a little bit, but you have to bite into it. That's the second definition. It needs to be, it could be small, but it has to still be enough that it requires a bite or to chew a little bit. Not that it's so little that it goes right in. The third definition is probably the easiest for us to remember and to live with, and this is what most people live by. The third definition is that you should try to make things a little bit larger than you would do making a salad during the week. Be conscious of it and make things a little bit bigger. Again, it doesn't have to be big pieces, but larger than chol. Larger than you would cut things, a little bit larger than you personally would normally chop things for that same type of a salad if you would make that salad on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. It should be a little bit larger, a little bit bigger. These are the three ways. This is something which is discussed in the Mishnah Berurah over there in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph. And this heter, by the way, this leniency to chop somach l'suda before the meal, not tiny, tiny, itsy bitsy, but a little bit larger than usual, that's with a knife, it's fine, but it is not allowed with a special kli for chopping. For that, you cannot use a special thing, any special device, obviously not talking about electric, but any hand device for chopping things, you cannot use that. And the reason for that is not really because of tochen, because you can make an adjustment maybe that the pieces should be still a little bit larger, right? The reason is because of uvda d'chol, that the poskim saw that as being a vachdik emaise, a weekday type of an activity, even though it does not involve one of the 39 melachas. It's not a prohibition because of the work of tochen, because you're making it samach l'suda, You're making it right before the meal, and you're making the pieces a little bit larger than usual. So as far as tochen is concerned, you're clear, you're okay. But by using any of these devices, the poskim say, you are then entering into another issue, another problem, which is called uvda d'chol. Uvda d'chol is a whole separate discussion, but for now it means that there are certain types of activities that the poskim said, even though it does not involve any of the forbidden categories of work, it's still not Shabbosdik. And it's not Shabbosdik to use these kind of choppers. Although Rav Moshe, as I said a minute ago, Rav Shlomo Zalman allowed, when it comes to the apple, to make those slices, the understanding was is that that is a type of a knife, and it's so obvious that those slices are not even in the ballpark of Trina, that there was more of a leniency. But here, where it certainly is a tremendous convenience for a person to have something that chops things into little pieces, so the poskim are strict, and they say that there's an issue here of uvda d'chol. There's also an interesting discussion found in the poskim regarding a different way of cutting. L'moshel, for instance, cutting long, thin slices. It's interesting. You're not chopping into little, you're not dicing, but you're cutting long, thin slices of a cucumber, of a pickle, of a carrot, long, thin slices. So the poskim have a very interesting discussion. Is that, how do we define that? Is that called gedolim ktsas? Is that called large enough? I mean, they're long, but they're very thin. Or is that considered to be in the category of tochein, that it's looked at as being dak-dak, that is looked at as being small because of the thinness? Even though it's long, but they're very thin slices. So how do we understand that? So without going to all the discussions, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Echotzavik Levracha was lenient. Rav Moshe held that it's absolutely not called china, and therefore you're allowed to make long, thin slices, as thin as you like. Not with a special instrument. But with a knife, you can make long, thin slices. There's no problem at all. There are others who are strict. The Ktzais HaShulchan brings in the name of the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was very strict with this. Therefore, there are a lot of the Chassidim don't do this, and most people do this. And Rav Moshe was lenient that it's perfectly permissible. Going back to the shiur, the amount of time that's considered to be samuch l'suda, you remember, in other words, preparing for the meal. All tchina that you're doing should be done samuch l'suda. It's a way of keeping safe, and I mentioned this last time, that it's not a good idea to prepare Friday night for the Shabbos suda when it comes to these activities. Absolutely not. You should do this before lunch, before the Shabbos meal. What is the shiur? So we spoke last time about a half hour, about an hour. In the context of tochen, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says that the women who are doing this at home should not begin until the men leave shul. Now you could be, you know, if you live in Borough Park, that could be you have 30 seconds, you know, because there's a shul next door. But the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham said that until the men leave shul, now there are some men that when they leave shul, they make it home quickly. There are others that take longer, not even with a distance, just has to do with schmoozing and so on. But until the men leave shul, the Magen Avraham gave an interesting simon, that when the men come out of shul and you begin to see the men are walking home from shul, that's already called samach l'suda. Samach l'suda means that if they know it's good for them, they better get working on lunch at that time. So that's already called samach l'suda. But we can still use the time that we spoke about last time. A half hour l'chadchila should be within a half hour. If a person has a large party, remember last time we spoke about that? If there's a large oilam, or if it's somebody that's preparing for a yeshiva or for a seminary, the cook, there's company and so on, and you can't possibly do everything like that in the half hour, you still should not start hours before. But you could stretch the samach l'suda as long as it's very obvious to everybody that it's come to that time that we have to get ready for lunch. And it's not just a convenience, early morning and so on, but we're getting ready for lunch. I guess we would say things are not going back into the fridge. If you're starting to put things back into the fridge, it's usually a simon that you're early, that you're a little bit too early. If things are already being prepared and they're kept on the counter and we're going to get things on the table, we're going to make kiddush and wash and get things on the table, l'chadchila, a half hour, even an hour, if it's a large meal with a lot of people and you need a little bit more than an hour, as long as it's obvious that we're getting ready to eat, I'm not putting things in the refrigerator in the basement or the fridge in the garage, I'm not putting things away someplace, we're going to eat. You should not be chopping vegetables earlier than that. It's always kedai to wait for that time of samach l'su'uda by the meal. Now, we've seen in the past that one of the great poskim of the 20th century, the Chazon Ish has certain stringencies, b'chlal and hilchos Shabbos. There are quite a few chumras from the Chazon Ish that are widely observed in the yeshiva communities in Eretz Yisrael, and to a certain extent here as well. And it's important to know of them. Whether a person observes them, that's a matter of choice. The Chazon Ish was a very great person, and his opinions are taken very seriously. In Hilchos Shabbos, there are many stringencies from the Chazon Ish, and in this area as well, there are certain stringencies from the Chazon Ish that it's important to know about, but one does not necessarily have to go by them, since we have other poskim, great poskim, who disagree. Now, the Chazon Ish held that this entire heter of cutting into little pieces, again, not tiny itsy-bitsy, but little pieces, somach l'su'uda, before the meal, this heter is not if we're dealing with crushing or mashing. It's talking about chopping. There's a difference. Not crushing or mashing. He says, that's also. That's also even if it's somach l'su'uda. That's also even if it's during the meal. Crushing, mashing is also at any time. That's not, the Chazon Ish says, what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about dicing, chopping, not smashing, mashing, crushing, any of that. Now the poskim bring that the Rivash, another one of the Rishonim, explains the Rashba, that Tchina, the Rashba seems to hold, according to these Rishonim, the Rashba seems to hold, that if we're talking about tchina la'alter means right before the meal, meaning within that time framework, that even risuk, even crushing, even mashing, is permitted. This is also a view of no less an authority than the Vilna Gaon. The Gur also says this, and so did Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if it's somach l'su'uda, you're allowed to mash and crush. Now, why isn't that considered to be itsy-bitsy pieces, right? We learn that you're not allowed to make tiny pieces. They have to be a little bit larger than during the week, even if it's somach l'su'uda, correct? When you're dicing. And yet, the Vilna Gaon and Rav Moshe, based upon their understanding of the Rashba and many of the poskim, not the Chazon Ish, but many of the poskim hold that you're allowed to mish and smish and crush. You're allowed to do that. So the question is, why? Why would that be better than dicing into tiny little itsy-bitsy pieces? Why would that be better? So it is a bit complicated, but the simple explanation that they give is that crushing and mashing something is simply not the definition of tochein. That's not that's not one of the 39 malachas. Tochein means chopping and dicing. It does not mean smushing. It means chopping and dicing as it was done with the grain and so on. That's what it means. That's the definition of it. But when you're mashing something, you're changing its entire identity. You're changing its identity. It's not like you're making little pieces of apple, tiny pieces of a carrot, of a celery. You're changing its entire identity. And Rav Moshe and the Vilna Gaon and these other poskim say that's not called tochein. That's simply not called tochein. It's something else. It's not called tochein. And as long as it's done somach l'su'uda, by the meal, so the Vilna Gaon and Rav Moshe and many, many other poskim are mekel. Again, the Chazon Ish is not mekel. The Chazon Ish is strict with that, and one should know that. Also, if a fruit, let's say if a fruit was cooked, so it's very, very soft. something is cooked, that something is baked in such a way that it became very soft. Then, even the Chazon Ish agrees that if it's, let's say, it's a baked apple or something which is cooked, potato, whatever. So even the Chazon Ish says that at that point, you're allowed to crush it, you're allowed to mash it. If it's something which is cooked, you're allowed to do that. That the process, the explanation is as follows. The Chazon Ish explains and others, the process of cooking has changed the essence of this fruit or vegetable. In effect, it's already been broken down. The softening through cooking has already changed its essence. It's already been broken down into components. It's true, we see the potato sitting there like that, but it's soft, or the baked apple, it's soft. The process of cooking that you did before Shabbos, it's cooked, that process really has already broken it down into separate components through the process of cooking. Therefore, if it's a baked or cooked fruit or vegetable, such as a potato, the Chazon Ish says that you're allowed, and the other poskim say, that you're allowed to take your fork or whatever it is and to smash the potatoes, to make mashed potatoes out of the baked potato. You can make on Shabbos, you could crush it and smash it, even according to the Chazon Ish. It's not a problem at all. The only restriction is still not to use special kalim, not to use special instruments, because of this side problem of Uvda Dechol, that it shouldn't get carried, that it shouldn't go over into something that's not Shabbos day. The post can bring in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that one should, it should be that the cooking or the baking has already made this really very soft. Not that it's like a hard potato. That's just was, it's a, sometimes you cook something and it really hasn't gotten so soft. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you should really make sure that it's already, and you know, it's soft. It doesn't have to be mamish mushy, but it's soft. And then you could crush it with a fork or with a spoon or anything like that. Just not to use some special instrument for it. Now, based upon his ruling and his understanding of the entire sugya, the Chazon Ish would say that you're not allowed to take, for instance, a banana or an avocado. These are not cooked, right? A banana or an avocado. The Chazon Ish said, even though by mushing it, you're not going to have little pieces, you're going to just have a mush. Nevertheless, the Chazon Ish said that's their natural state. They're not cooked, they're not baked. And the Chazon Ish said you're absolutely not allowed, let's say for a baby or whatever, or for an adult that wants to shmir avocado, if anybody does that, I've seen such a thing, to avocado or a banana, to smash it. So the Chazon Ish is machmir, that you're not allowed to do that. These have not been cooked or baked. If they're cooked or baked, then it's the same as anything else. Then it's okay. But they're not cooked, and you're not allowed to be lenient doing that. That's the psak of the Chazon Ish. However, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees. And the Olam is generally relying upon Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, especially when they're little children. When it comes to bananas and other fruits or things that you need to make soft, very soft for them, that they rely upon Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to smash and to crush it for the children, as long as it's soft, either it was something that was baked or cooked, that's fine, or even if it's a banana or an avocado, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it's okay. As long, he says, that it's so soft that if you would take one part of it, the other part would be left behind. That's, in other words, the meaning of that is that something where where one piece very, very easily and softly disconnects and detaches from the other piece. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you're allowed to crush and to mash these things, and it's not a problem. A banana or an avocado, fruits or vegetables that by nature are very soft. I don't know, can you think of other things that are like that? Fruits or vegetables that are very soft, that you could just press down and they get mushy? No. Huh? Yeah. Sometimes a pear, right, if it's very soft, right. So something that's like that, that has that texture, that's very soft, So Reb Shlomo Zalman Abach was Mekel. Next, it is permitted to chop into small pieces, tiny pieces, any food that is not gidulei karka, meaning things that don't grow from the ground, such as meat, an egg, cheese, fish, and so on. You're allowed to cut these things into small pieces as you like. There is no iser teichin. The only thing is, again, we do not use special instruments for that because of the issue of uvda d'chol. It's not Shabbos day. But as far as meat and other things that don't grow from the ground, fish, cheese, and so on, there's no iser teichin. A lot of people don't realize that. There's no iser at all. You could chop into tiny pieces as you like. No, there's no iser teichin at all. Doesn't have to even be samach l'sudim. No, it's perfectly fine. When it comes to these things, it's perfectly fine. There's bechlal. There's no iser of teichin at all. The next very important halacha, is very much l'maisa, is that you're allowed to take. For instance, you're allowed to take a cookie, a piece of challah, a piece of cake, and you're allowed to crumble it into tiny little crumbs. How could you do that? This comes from the ground, right? This is grown from the earth. How are you allowed to take cookies, challah, cake, and so on? How are you allowed to crush them? Or make them into tiny little crumbs. What about the Isser of Teichin? So here there's a very important principle in Halacha that is referred to as Ein Teichin Achar Teichin. There's no Isser of double Techina. There's no Isser of a second Teichin. That means that you are allowed to take something that had been already grounded, and then it was put together and baked, whatever. And now that it's been baked into a cookie, into a cake, into a challah, it was already decomposed. It was originally, and you're allowed now that through baking it's become again a solid. You are allowed to now crush it into tiny little pieces, into crumbs. It's no issue at all. Because ein tochin acha tochin. Similarly, when it comes to a pill, there's some, especially children, some people, even adults, that they can't swallow a pill. So there is no iser of tochin. There's no iser of tochin when it comes to a pill, because that pill was put together from powder. It was already crushed in the laboratory. In the office, it was already crushed, and the powder was then made into a pill, or into a capsule, whatever it might be. So there's no iser when it comes, according to this, there's no iser of crushing a pill and drinking it, or taking it with water, whatever, however a person likes to have it. There's no iser because ein teichin acha teichin. There is no teichin acha teichin. Now we need to explain this for 2 minutes. This concept. This din of ein teichin acha teichin, what this means. On the simplest level, there are basically two parts to this din of ein teichin acha teichin. One is that it's permitted to take something that is a solid. It's a solid. It's a piece. It's a shtick. It's a piece. A solid. And it had already been. At some earlier point in its history, before Shabbos, some other time, it had already been grounded. And now it's a solid again. That's the simple pshat. It's solid again. Through cooking, through baking, whatever it is, it's now, once again, in a solid state. That's one part of this. The second thing is that it's mutter to grind something if, to begin with, it wasn't solid. And then afterwards, it became a solid. It could either be that it was a solid before, it was broken down, and now through baking and cooking, it became a solid again. or it could be that it was originally to begin with. Well, I'll give some examples in a moment. It was not a solid thing. It was not a solid thing. It was tiny little pieces, crumbs, granules, whatever. If you're baking and cooking, whatever, I'll show you some examples in a minute. It became a solid. You're allowed to break it back down because ain't teichin acha teichin. Let me just give you some examples. It will be very obvious how we apply this. The first is that there's no issue at all, let's say, to take a slice of bread and for a little child or for whatever it is to make into the tiny little crumbs. There's no problem at all. Again, that doesn't have to be somach l'suda. You could do that any time on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be by a meal. Anytime. There's no issue with a cookie, with a piece of bread, with some cake for a child, whatever it might be, there's no issue at all. One example. Another example. Salt. So you have that salt, to begin with, it existed in the state of being tiny little granules. But as you know, especially if it's humid out or for other reasons, generally because of humidity and moisture, it could become a clump. That the salt became a piece, became a clump of salt, or with sugar, that the same thing had happened. The din is that this was originally, its original state was separate little chopped up tiny little granules, that Hashem made them like that. And now, or maybe it became how it was mined, it was originally a piece, but then it was chopped up into tiny little granules. And then somehow, either through cooking or because of humidity, whatever it might be, it became a solid clump. Or sugar, similarly. The din is that there's no issue at all to smash it and to break into small pieces because ein teichen acha teichen. A third example is when it comes to cutting chocolate, for instance, into tiny pieces. Chocolate was originally cocoa beans. And the chocolate, those beans were processed by being crushed and by being smashed and cooked, however it's made, into chocolate. And therefore, once you get that chocolate bar, even if it's one of those fat chocolate bars, once you get a chocolate bar, this has already gone through the process of tchina. It's already been geklapped and gehakt. It already had tzaros. So once you get that chocolate bar, you're allowed to, it's already ein teich nacha teichin. It already survived tchina. That process of tchina, and it's been put back together from the tiny little pieces into a chocolate bar, and you'll have to smash it down to the tiny little pieces again. Ein teich nacha teichen. Another interesting example, really this is a much bigger topic, but I'm only going to use this as an example now, that let's say you have a little bit of a ketchup stain. It's some ketchup got onto the clothing, kids' clothing, your clothing, on the tablecloth, a little ketchup, and it became hard. So it got dry and it became hard. Are you allowed to crush this and to clean it off? So here the poskim say that these tomatoes were already crushed. In order to make ketchup, you have to crush the tomatoes. Therefore, because ein teichen acha teichen, there's no issue of breaking this up and scratching it off. Because I'm not talking about with liquids and the stain, that's something else, if it remains. I'm not getting to that. But I'm saying, but there's a piece of it. So you're allowed to crush it, to break it, and to remove it, because tomatoes, agvanios, tomatoes, are crushed in order to make ketchup. So that's not an issue. You're allowed to do that. Again, with all of these things, we do not use special instruments, any special instrument. You're allowed to use a knife or a fork or your fingernail and so on. But not to use anything that would give the impression of it being not Shabbos, of being vachadik. Therefore, you can't take pieces of clumps of sugar or clumps of salt and put it into a thing and with a special thing. What's it called? Not that people use this anymore, but in the old days, the thing, the grinder, the pepper thing, or a mortar. You can't use those kalim to crush it. Even though ain't teich nacha teich, we don't use these special kinds of kalim. These are things that you use during the week. Because of this din of ein teichen acha teichen, you're allowed to take anything that was crushed erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, that was already crushed or that was made into tiny pieces, and you can make it on Shabbos into tinier pieces. Now, let's say you made already little itsy bitsy pieces on Friday, And now you want to take out on Shabbos these little pieces that you made. It's already for sure tiny. In other words, it's not called gedolim k'tas. They're tiny little pieces. So according to halacha, it's already called nitcham. It's already grinded because they're tiny little pieces. You're allowed to grind them even smaller because ein tochen, acha tochen. Since they're so tiny that they already are defined as being chopped into tiny pieces, if you want to, you could take them and make them into smaller pieces. You can make it even smaller. And it doesn't involve any of the problems of somach l'su'udah and all, because it doesn't even get into that, because it's ein tochen acha tochen. It's not called chine. It was already nitchan. It was already grinded. So there's no issa to add grinding. Once it's already been ground into tiny pieces, there's no issa. You're allowed to do that. That's called in halacha tachun ve'omeid. It's already been prepared. You want to make it even tinier? Gesundheit, you could do that. It's already tachun ve'omeid. It's already grinded. You can make it into smaller pieces because they're already tiny pieces. You can make it even to smaller pieces. Now here at the end, I just want to mention that the issur of tochen, a lot of people don't realize this, that the issur of tochen, according to many poskim, involves things, even things that are not food. Even though we learned that there's no problem by meat and by cheese and by fish and so on, because they're not grown from the ground. However, when we're talking about the ground itself, clumps of dirt, karka, pieces of earth, clumps of dirt, here, the poskim, many poskim are machmir, that when it comes to karka, when it comes to ofar, even though you could say, well, it was already in tiny little granules, and then maybe because of the weather or whatever, it congealed into some sort of a mud or into some sort of a hardened solid that's on your shoes and it's on some clothing, into a clump of dirt. Still, the poskim here, based upon their interpretation of the Ramah, are strict and say, even though you could say that this originally on the ground was in separate granules, we do not apply the leniency, the heter of ein tochen acha tochen. It's based upon a reading in the Ramah. The Ramah writes the following: De'ein tchina ba'ochlin shahayu tchunin tchila. There is no issur of tchina by food that had already been chopped up by food. That since by the ground, earth. The earth is karak itself, mamash. There is a din of tochein. You're not allowed stam to go and to crush pieces of earth. So the Ramah's wording over here is, when does the kula, when does the heter of ein tochein acha tochein, that you're allowed to have double tchina, when does that apply? So the Ramah's words are, the ein tchina ba'ochlin shahayu tchunin tchila. There's no prohibition to regrind or crush again, or chop again, food that had already been chopped. So the poskim derive from here that only when it comes to food do we have this leniency of ein teichen acha tochen. Now this, but not by the earth, now, or by other things that are not food. So this brings us back to the issue that we spoke about before. That the poskim are makel when it comes to crushing a pill. For a person, obviously, I'm not getting to the issue of whether a person is allowed to take a pill on Shabbos. We're talking about a situation where a person has to take a pill. That's done. Okay, we're not getting to the issue of medicine on Shabbos. For whatever reason, God forbid, this person has to take a pill. So we learned that the poskim, Rabbi Pesach Frank, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, many great poskim, they say that if it's hard for you to swallow a pill or for a child, you're allowed to crush the pill. Of ein tochen acha tochen, because this was already in a powder in the laboratory, and then it was made into a solid. So it seems like it's a davar poshut, according to them, that we do apply ein tochen acha tochen. In other words, we do apply this leniency even to something that's not food, such as a pill. So how does Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, how are they makel that you're allowed to crush a pill? Because it was powder? But we learn that according to this understanding of the Ramah, Ein tochin achat tochin is a leniency. In other words, a leniency that there's no issue of double tchina. That leniency is only with foods, fruits and vegetables and so on. Not with things that are not food, such as the earth or a pill. Why would you be allowed, therefore, to crush the pill just because it was in a powdery state before, and now you want to crush it again, if we don't say ain tochen achat tochen only by food? So the modern day poskim have had a problem trying to explain this, and the general way that they approach this is that mikavan, since it's the derech of people, and it's very very common nowadays for people to be taking all different kinds of medicines, vitamins and pills, to swallow all these things. The Nela, the poskim want to say nowadays that it has a shame oichel. It's been promoted to the level of something that is so commonly put into the mouth that it is viewed in halacha not as like a clump of dirt, as earth, as some sort of a powdery substance. It's seen as something that people commonly ingest, that they put into their mouths. And we don't look at it like dirt or something else. We look at it as a food. And because of that, we're able to apply also here this heter, this leniency of ein tochen achat tochen. Even when it comes to crushing medicine, we apply the leniency of ein tochen achat tochen. Again, not with a special instrument, but with a fork or the back of the handle of a knife or something to clap it, but not with a special thing, a special instrument. And therefore, that's permitted. Any questions?